Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 19, God's guidelines for his servant's ministry in apostate times. God calls us to minister for him both in good as well as apostate times. So we must be instant in season, out of season, according to 2 Timothy 4:2, serving the Lord devotedly even when the effort includes spiritual hardships. It's incredibly important for God's servants to be instant in season, out of season. A lot of times, in fact, probably more than half the times, it's not in season for fruit bearing. And you're ministering and you're not really seeing any results short term. But boy, it's important to stay at it, because long term, you know, they say the chickens come home to roost, the cows come home, and so forth. Same in discipling. It's what you do in the ordinary times of life that are extremely important. And sometimes I've ministered sermons and messages, and I thought after the service, well, I don't think I got any response out of that. And then 2 weeks later, I find out someone had a life-changing decision as a result of the message. So you never know. You have to be faithful in season, out of season. Well, effective service for the Lord in apostate eras thus takes insight due to the hardships that are involved. And God gave Jeremiah such insight in Jeremiah 1:11-19. So we view the passage for our guidance in serving God in our apostate era. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 1:11-19. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and the face thereof is from the north, or in other words, it's pouring from the north towards the south. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north a calamity shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and shall set everyone his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Tremendous passage of scripture. Jeremiah's audience was already spiritually hardened against the Lord by their idolatry, so that Jeremiah was going to be proclaiming messages to hearers who would not positively receive them. It's interesting, the last verse, two verses we read, the people of the land, the princes, the elders, they're all going to be against you, but I'm with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Can you imagine that went on for 40 years? Imagine preaching for 40 years and nobody responds positively, and they all respond negatively for 40 years. No wonder he's called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah, incidentally, we can tell from reading between the lines, he was a very sensitive man. He wasn't, you know, normally you would think that God would select someone to minister to people who are going to be judged who would be rough and caustic. But that's not so. He chose a very sensitive man, a man that just as soon not do that. But he did that because God wanted to demonstrate that he did not rejoice. He did not join in punishing people. He never likes to punish people, and that's why he chose a man that just as soon not do the job. So Jeremiah could serve the Lord effectively in his dark era. God gave Jeremiah guidelines for an effective 40-year ministry, what is applicable for us in our apostate era. We happen to live in a difficult and an apostate era today, so the information that God provides for Jeremiah here is absolutely applicable to us, because we run into difficulties a lot like Jeremiah did. First of all, Jeremiah obtained God's practical guidance on being sure of rightly interpreting God's word. Did you get that in verse 11? The word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? Or what seest thou? And he said, I see the rod of an almond tree. I used to change sprinkler pipes in almond orchards. And what he was talking about, almonds normally are very rough growing trees, very coarse bark, but there is a branch that comes out of it. It comes out something like this, and then it goes straight up and gets narrow. And if you cut it off right at the burly branch, you have this wonderful walking stick. It's hardwood, and you can grab it up here. And they used to cut those off for rods. And this is, remember, Aaron's rod that budded almonds and so forth. It was an almond rod. Now, what they do is, it's normally a sucker branch, so they cut a lot of those off so that the almond tree can produce more almonds than if they have these sucker branches. But it's basically a sucker branch that he was watching. And he recognized it right away because they grew almonds, and they still have almond trees that grow there in parts of Palestine, although they don't really make a living out of it. In Durham, California, my home where I went to Durham High School, it's actually known as the almond capital of the world. And they call them almonds, not almonds. Almonds for a reason. They knock the L out of them. That's what they say. They in order to harvest the almond trees, they put a knocking machine up against it and they rat like that and knocks all the almonds down into a big upside down umbrella and they collect it. But an almond tree. It's very interesting that God's word saying, what do you see? Jeremiah said, I see the rod of an almond tree. Notice what God said, thou hast well seen. Good, you're looking well. Now to us that seems, why is God necessarily doing that? God is trying to demonstrate to Jeremiah, I want you to be sure that you know that you're getting the truth. See, there are a lot of people who are going to reject Jeremiah's message. They're going to say, oh, I don't believe you. Oh, I don't believe you. God couldn't have said that. And after a while, if you have enough people critiquing that, you begin to wonder yourself, did I hear the Lord? There are a lot of Christians today who are going around saying, nobody can be sure what the correct interpretation of the Bible is because you've got this interpretation, that interpretation. And if any pastor gets up in the pulpit and says, thus saith the Lord, he doesn't know what he's talking about. There are a lot of evangelical Christians who do that. And so I always love the verse in John 8, verse 32, where Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's very, very important that we be sure we know what the truth is. Well, in our era, as we rely on the Holy Spirit, he guides us to discern the right interpretation of Scripture. In 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14, Paul says, guard through the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us, the form of healthy words that you have received from me. And then John 16, 13, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall receive of mine and give it unto you. So we have assurance of knowing the truth as we view Scripture through the normal use of language also, the literal, grammatical, historical context of Scripture. That's the way Jesus interpreted the Bible in Mark chapter 12, 18 to 27. We've studied that in the past when we were going through Mark's Gospel. But Jesus relied on the literal and the grammatical in the historical contexts of Scripture to know for the truth. So we've got to get that down so that we know for sure what the interpretation is. Because you're going to run into even committing Christians who will say, oh, I don't believe that's true. How do you can't be sure that's true because Pastor so-and-so over here says this, and Pastor so-and-so over there says that. How in the world can you know that to be true? No. Jeremiah had the same problem. Also, Jeremiah obtained God's assurance that he could constantly, sovereignly oversee his correctly interpreted word to fulfill it, regardless of apostate unbelief or resistance to Jeremiah to the contrary. The word almond is in Hebrew shaked, where the word watch or wake is shakad. There's a play on words, shaked and shakad, meaning that God used a play on words to supply an unforgettable lesson for Jeremiah. The almond tree blooms in January. I used to have to change smudge pots in California in January. This time of the year we go out and in order to protect the blossoms because often it would freeze. Nowadays what they do, they turn sprinklers on and they just sprinkle and icicles form on the blossoms. But as long as they keep the water on it, the water, the icicles never get colder than 32 degrees, so the blossoms don't die. So they just keep the water on it until the icicles melt. But that's what they do. It's cheaper than the smudge pots, and the environmentalists don't like the smudge pots. The smudge pots is where you burn oil, and it gets all over the place. You'd come out of the field after burning smudge pots during the night, and you'd be black, you know, all over the place, your face, your head, everything, your clothes. You know, your mother just loved you, something fierce. But anyway, in my days, they used smudge pots, not sprinklers, but nowadays it's sprinklers. But the almond tree blossoms in January before the leaves. The leaves come out in March, okay? And when you go through the fields in January, it's just like being in a honey factory. The pollen is so thick. It's just incredible. And you have these rough, gnarly trees, very black bark, rough, and then you have these soft, lovely, very fragrant white petals. It's really quite a sight. And but anyway, because the almond blossoms so early, it has the reputation of being a tree that is always awake, always going on, always working. In fact, when the almonds are picked, there's actually a little bud that begins to form, even in the fall. And it's getting ready for the next growth to occur after the winter. So the almond tree never rests. It's always at work. And that's where the word watch is. And God utilized this picture to teach that God oversees his correctly interpreted word spoken by Jeremiah to fulfill it, regardless of the apostate hearers' denials of belief in Scripture or rejection of it, since Jeremiah was the one who spoke it. You see, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to say, Jeremiah, I don't believe the Lord told you to say that. You couldn't have. You know, that's just your own words. In fact, in one place in Jeremiah 42, they say, oh, you're amanuensis, your scribe, the one who's writing your prophecies. He made you do that. You're being manipulated by other people. And that's something that you'll face in ministry even today. So what answers this is that God uses circumstantial evidences to encourage us that he is keeping his word. And 2 Timothy 2, 4 to 7, the hardworking farmer of necessity must be the first ones to receive the crops. God tells Timothy there, Paul, in fact, Paul says, focus on what I'm telling you and the Lord will give you understanding in everything. If you're feeding people the way God wants you to feed them, you will notice it yourself because you'll be fed and the Lord will bless you through what you're actually giving out before you give it out. And that's one of the signals that you're on the beam. If you're not getting that kind of a feedback, then you have no way of knowing if you're on the beam. But the Lord gives circumstantial evidences to encourage us that he is keeping his word and that we are on the beam. Then Jeremiah gained God's assurance of the message that he would bring. Judgment for Judah's idolatry. That's verses 13 to 16. Having received encouragement from the Lord for correctly interpreting the vision of the almond rod, Jeremiah then received a second vision of a large vessel used for cooking that was about to spill its boiling contents from the north towards the south. This vision was interpreted by the Lord to mean that he was sending the Babylonians who would invade Judah from the north, executing God's very painful and destructive judgment on that nation. That judgment would occur for all of Judah's wickedness that had risen due to her main sin of replacing the Lord with idol worship and practices of her own initiatives versus heeding Scripture. Now, in our era, we've learned that the message that we give centers on the Laodicean church era message in Revelation 3, 14 to 22, on overcoming our era's false spirituality by biblical truths, opposite Calvinism and Arminianism. Calvinism and Arminianism had produced false spirituality that affects the church today. And so we're supposed to counter not only those systems of belief, but the errant spirituality that produces. Now, this kind of message to hardened apostates would not be well received, making Jeremiah's work hard. So God gave him directions on a long-term survival in the ministry, and this directly applies to us. Jeremiah was to gird up your loins. In those days, you would wear an outer, kind of like a flowing robe. And if you wanted to work or you're getting ready to run, you would gird up your loins. You would roll up your robe, and you would tuck it in a belt and a girdle that would run around your middle waist, and that would free your legs so you could take off and run or work or whatever. That's what gird up your loins meant. And we would translate it, get ready, get prepared for action. So successful ministry to those in an apostate era takes constant preparation and focus on scripture truth. It's very, very important to think ahead and plan ahead. I've taught our adult Sunday school class for many years, and the format of the class is to teach the class and then leave a period open for question and answer. I found that it really works to try to plan ahead to understand what questions people might raise in certain areas. I found in the past, if I haven't done that and they fire questions at me, sometimes they can get me stumped. So you got to be careful. And sometimes someone will ask, because they're not right with the Lord, they'll ask a question in a combative way, trying to trip you up, and that's really tough. And you have to answer it, and you have to be prepared to come back kindly and gently, yet with the right answer, and not in a self-defensive way. So gird up your loins. Be ready. Get ready for action, because you can get into angelic conflict at a split second, and there's no telling if it's coming ahead of time. Then Jeremiah was to speak what God ordered him to speak, even if it was not popular. Giving such a message to apostates who would retaliate against him would be frightening for a sensitive man like Jeremiah, so God told him not to be afraid of them, or God would terrify him before them. And this lofty expectation that God had for Jeremiah could be met if he realized that though all the people of the land, together with their leaders, were going to oppose him, God would be with him to make him stoutly resist, yielding to all their ungodly hardness that produced persecution against them. It's very interesting. If we rely on the Lord, no matter who opposes us, God is with us. One with the Lord is a majority. That's the picture. So we need to stand with the Lord. So the lesson and application is to minister long-term in an apostate era, which is an era that we have in our day-to-day. May we rely on God's guidance of rightly interpreting Scripture. Be assured that He will fulfill His word that we speak. Be assured of the message we are to give. Get mentally ready and vigilant to speak what God directs, without fear of hearers' reactions, lest God frightens us before them in discipline. Assured that God will enable us to endure long-term all who oppose us. It's very, very interesting to trust the Lord in this particular realm. And I have to admit, this passage, I have used it many, many times. It's just a wonderful passage. It's very applicable for our era. We are in an apostate era. There's no question about it. There are spiritual needs all around us. And sometimes we run into it directly where we're at, sometimes indirectly. And sometimes the devil tries to sneak up on us and trap us from behind. And before you know it, we're in a conflict. What we really need to do is to be ready and pay attention to this and remember that we don't have to be afraid. All we have to do is to focus on the Lord. And the Lord will equip us to succeed no matter what we face. Because God has an agenda. He has an agenda for your life. He has an agenda for my life. And if we're obeying Him, He will fulfill that agenda. And nobody can stop it.